It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michelle, the tail, the tandem from the offset eye, takes the handoff, runs it through the right side. Sony cuts right to the five. Michelle wards off a defender. A stiff arm en route to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Boy, look at the quarterback getting excited with Newhouse. They make some adjustments up front. 14-yard little dance step to the right side. It goes off right tackle. And the kid finally got some success running the daylight here this year.
Okay, big second half adjustment. Patriots go to the run game in the second and blow doors.
That's how we lead off the second hour, and it leads to Maz's Rodenheiser take.
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. So look, the running game was better in the second half. Michelle was better in the second half. I still think it's largely related to the line, though. But you know what? Watching him yesterday, he had two runs that stuck out. One was the big one that went through the left side up the sideline there, and then the touchdown. But he doesn't exactly run away from people, does he? Like, I hate to end up back here.
No, you don't.
No, listen, I don't think the guy sucks. I don't think he sucks. Okay, I was wrong about that. When I said he sucks, he blows, I was wrong. Okay, so that's on the record. And that's not coming off. Is he
special?
No. Right. Is he unique?
No.
What is he? What do you, when he gets the ball, do you hold your breath? Because I don't. The only thing that happened yesterday that made me give pause to, okay, that's a good sign, were the three targets and three receptions.
No question.
To me, the fact that they used him in the passing game, better sign.
And he looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how was that so, why did that take so long?
You got me. I don't know.
Because he's been out of the circle of trust since he had balls clang off his hands in Jacksonville in week two last year. I'm convinced of that.
Brady, again, ageist. You know, just discriminating against a young player in the passing game. Where Michelle, he was supposed to be a passing game player at Georgia.
Yeah, he was pretty good at it.
Little snippet yesterday looked natural in catching the football. I mean, he's not rocket science. We're not looking for freaking Randy Moss out there. Feel like why did it take a year and a month to just get him the ball like that?
And look at, and it doesn't take much, right, overall to make defenses respect it. Mike, three targets a week is 50.
That's it.
It's 50 for the year.
Plenty.
It's enough. That's all you got to do is just get him the ball every now and then and let him pick up 8 yards. For crying out loud. Like, so that I was encouraged to see. But in terms of when he gets into space, I'm sorry. I just don't see it with this guy.
Me neither.
I don't see it.
No, he's good, not great. It was, again, that he was involved in the passing game is excellent because at least it means they're not going to be as predictable. Because prior to that, anytime he's in the backfield, guess what they're going to do? Hand off to him, and he's going to run. But he's good, not great. Look, if you watch last night's game, that Marlon Mack, the running back they have in Indianapolis, now that kid's special in terms of his strength. He keeps moving the pile, his little jump cuts and stuff like that. There's something there that is obvious to the, you know, to the eye immediately. Michelle's just good. Yeah, I would say he doesn't have that like breakaway burst or anything like that.
I mean, I say he's average?
I don't know about that.
He's probably above average, but here's how I would say it. I don't really notice him. Like, so they spelled him a little bit with Bolden in that game yesterday. I was like,
kind of one and the same?
It's kind of the same plays being made. I'm not telling you Bolden's better. He's not. But this is sort of like the core tenet of a running backist, which is what I am. You're going to get roughly the same production from most guys. There's only a few guys where they're special. Maybe Max one of them. I don't even know about that. But there's a few guys, a handful, that are going to get yards that aren't there consistently. But they'll get hurt, and I still wouldn't spend on them. But, you know, fine. There's a couple that the rest of them, like, well, what's really the difference that I've seen between Sony Michel and Brandon Bolden or James White carrying the ball or Rex Burkhead? It's all sort of the same. It's all within the context of the offense. So he's fine. I'm not telling you he sucks. He's fine. But I don't notice, Michelle's in the game. Here we go. The defense is on its heels. Or they're playing you differently. Or there's plays being made out there with Michelle that aren't being made with the other guys. I feel like it's all like they threw to Bolden. He scored a touchdown. I don't know. It's like all kind of the same.
I don't see anything unique there.
I certainly don't see this explosiveness that he was supposed to have at Georgia.
Definitely not. He's
supposed to be an explosive player, right?
Yeah-ish. I mean, yeah. He's had knee surgeries, though, so some of that's going to go away.
Wow. I mean, I'll give him the stiff arm yesterday, too. I thought that was a good stiff arm. I was happy to see that. Like, you know, knock the guy in his ass and get into the end zone. There you go. I'm okay with that. The big thing, though, is the passing game. Like, I half wonder, as you mentioned Bolden, I don't know, does the same play happen if Michelle's in the game? Because Bolden sort of reads it, runs down the sideline, Brady drops it in there. Are they on the same frequency? Can they make that play with Michelle in the game instead of Bolden? I don't know.
Yeah, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to start Brandon Bolden and give him 25 carries a game or anything like this. But I'm also saying you don't need to draft a guy like Sony Michel in the first round. What he has shown so far is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in the third round. It's in the seventh round. It's in the AAF. It's in the CFL. It's everywhere. He played well in the playoffs last year, but even then, I think that was road grading offensive line work.
I was just going to say that had as much more to do with the line than it did with him,
and maybe the opponent too. I mean, if you watch last night, you're not the only one to go into Kansas City and run the ball on him. So anyway, you know, there's your little Sony Michel left-handed compliments. Those weren't even compliments, but you know what I mean. back to your thoughts. Joe in Easton. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Felger, I agree with that last point, but I want to go back to something Maz was saying earlier about how the Patriots had the worst defensive effort of the season yesterday against the Redskins. I mean, if you look at that Colts game yesterday, I'll take the Patriots' chances against the Chiefs with our defense. Thanks.
Okay, well, you just said two separate things. Maz said that was their worst defensive performance of the year?
Yeah, again, it's like, you know, picking from five supermodels, for crying out loud. Like, who's the ugliest? So I'm just
overall, Maz gave him a C- yesterday as a team.
I didn't think it was a good performance. I thought it was below average. I thought if they played Buffalo again yesterday, they'd have lost.
No, they wouldn't have.
Well, so maybe they'd have won 10-7.
No, they would have 19-13 or whatever. What did they win last week?
16-10.
Yeah, that's what they would have done.
It's a scary to think that.
So wait a minute. Maybe it would have been 13-10. I thought they played worse yesterday than in Buffalo.
Definitely.
So look, I thought they played better as a team in Buffalo than yesterday. Overall, both sides of the ball, the whole thing. But they weren't a C-. They won 33-7.
And they wouldn't have lost because Buffalo wouldn't have scored.
Thank you.
So the defense is still, fabulous.
I think they had their worst singular defensive play yesterday, but
that's all it takes to make it the worst game of the year for them defensively.
And
they've been
that,
good at everything else.
They kept getting off the field on third down. They kept rushing the passer. They kept coming in waves. They were great, especially in the second half defensively.
The Redskins blow. They blow. They quit. They suck. They're awful.
Will in Weymouth. Hi, Will in Weymouth.
You guys had some great material on the Redskins and the demise from the ownership down, and I wanted to get your thoughts on Jay Gruden being the lightning rod and being thrown out the door. Although he's not a great head coach, there is not a single position group on that team that I envy or covet. It's garbage.
It's,
product on the field is garbage.
Will, it's so Redskins what's going on there. So I don't know if you may have seen over the weekend, there were old videos of Jay Gruden released partying in Georgetown or somewhere in D.C. where he was pretty banged up and sort of hitting on girls and smoking, maybe a joint, maybe a cigarette. At one point, sitting on the sidewalk next to a young girl trying to pick her up. Okay, little snippets, sort of like, boy, sort of, he did nothing wrong. I mean, nothing
questionable.
Yeah, I mean, no, see, It was a bad look. Okay, he's just sort of hammered out partying, and little clips of that. But they come out over the weekend, and they're over a year old, and it just so reeks. It so reeks of that petty, incompetent little tyrant, Daniel Snyder, greasing the skids for firing with cause or trying to hold his money or just trying to make him look bad on the way out the door. Because this is how Daniel Snyder can't run a football team. No clue. But these little petty vendettas and these little tyrannical little, you know, ping matches are his specialty. And so he waits for Gruden to get blown up by the Patriots. He wants the new coach to face the Dolphins, not the Patriots. That's why they waited a week. And before I guess they gassed him at 5 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, told him to come in so we can fire you at 5 in the morning.
And so, but in the meantime, before that, they made sure those videos got back out of him in a questionable spot, drunk, out on the streets in Georgetown. So Redskins.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
weak.
It's so right. Daniel Snyder is like the classic example of...
He's a villain. He's a true villain is what he is. He's a bad guy.
But people think, like, if you get rich, people automatically think you're smart and you know what you're doing. You know, oh, well, look, he has all that money. He must know what he's doing. Must be a pretty sharp guy. No, no. Sometimes you're just lucky. Sometimes you're an idiot. Sometimes you're not a good manager. Sometimes you're not very bright. And you just luck into something. And he lucked into something with marketing or whatever, because a lot of the other stuff that he's done has completely failed. He drove the Six Flags amusement thing into bankruptcy. It's hard to find an NFL team that's been managed worse than this one over the last 20 years. I don't think the guy knows what he's doing. I think he's a doofus and evil, and he's evil to boot. How did he make his money? He got lucky? Or maybe he pushed the boundaries of what he was allowed to? Who knows? Because if you're so smart, how do you run a team like this for 20 years? If you know what you're doing, how do you get your team in this spot? And it happens over and over and over again.
I mean, they're pathetic. The Redskins are absolutely positively pathetic.
Completely driven. One of the marquee, most solid organizations in football to a complete laughingstock. So this is like a bigger picture topic of how rich you're supposed to view rich people as smart and they must know what they're doing. No, sir. Sometimes you're just lucky, or maybe you cheated or something, because there is no one who can convince me that Daniel Snyder knows what he's doing.
He and his sister founded a wallboard advertising company.
A marketing company.
Yeah.
And so maybe he got lucky. Maybe he did something. Now, who knows? But don't tell me he's smart or knows what he's doing. Because that is a disgrace what has happened down there in Washington, D.C., and it continues. And that video, the video's over the weekend at Gruden, I'm like, here we go. This is, Snyder's up to something. So here's a quick break, and we're back with more.
The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down and four for New England. Brady under center on the retreat. Dropping back. He's pressured. He rolls right. He throws it down the right side for an open Bolden. Catch it to 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
My, oh, my. It's a wheel route that they got him on again.
All right, nice play there, for sure. We continue with your thoughts. Scott in Vermont, what do you got?
Hey, obviously the Patriots tried Antonio Brown at wide receiver. That was a complete mess. But is there any chance you guys think, are they going to, like, make a move for, I don't know, well, obviously A.J. Green's probably out of the, you know, he's out of there, but maybe Emmanuel Sanders, is it going to actually happen, or are they going to make a move? Or?
Who knows if it's actually going to happen. I think they're trying. Was there a report over the weekend they were interested in A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert there in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
And that cap space is an issue for him? Like, I don't want to hear this.
I think it was Jason Luckin for CBS.
So the Eifert idea, I like.
Eifert, fine. You know, injury concern for sure.
Yeah, well, he's hurt all the time.
Same with A.J. Green.
But A.J. Green, would you please?
No, they need something, you know. To me, they need something better. I want to say better than A.J. Green.
They need something better than A.J. Green.
Yeah, more consistent.
You wouldn't take him, though?
No.
It's not like he's a troublemaker off the field like Antonio Brown was.
No, he's soft like Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, whatever. I'd still take him.
I want a little bit more of a possession guy.
Me too.
To me, that's what they need. Someone who's a little bit more of a possession guy. And Green, to me, is a, you know, run down the field, catch a 50-yard bomb.
Well, so I would take Emmanuel Sanders over him.
Yeah.
Who else are you going to get?
Like, Diggs.
They're not trading Diggs.
Okay, so I'm just telling you who I would take. You know, I just don't like A.J. Green. I don't think he's a route runner. I don't think he's tough. I don't think he's your kind of player. Just like Demaryius Thomas is not your kind of player. I think Josh Gordon is borderline your kind of player. Greg in the car. Go ahead, Greg.
Hi there. About the same topic with Tom and his circle of trust and finding the right receiver. It seems to me that, you know, there have been things year to year that the Patriots have needed to work on. Improve the line play during the course of the season. And this theme with Brady keeps coming up year after year. It's almost like it's taboo for Daniels and Belichick to even get him to step out of his comfort zone and help young receivers along.
Absolutely, Greg. And I think it enters their thinking when they're building their team. And I've heard Tom Curran say this enough for me to believe it's been said. And that is, well, if we draft this guy, is Tom going to throw to him? And if we sign this guy, is Tom even going to throw to him? So what's the point? And I think that's become a little bit of a thing. Well, what's the point of bringing this guy? What's the point of signing this guy? What's the point of drafting this guy? Tom ain't going to throw to him. And that's, I think that's become like a little bit of an issue. And I think Brady's, you know, the things that Brady's complaining about and moping about are sort of self-inflicted. If you were here in the offseason and working with these guys from day one and working with Jacoby Myers from day one, and say what you will about Jacoby Myers, he's clearly got potential. He's got a little something there. And if you were there from day one, working with him, investing in him, believing in him, would he be a viable option right now? I mean, he's not. You won't even look at him. But is that partly your own doing? And I think Belichick and the team looks at that some way, you know, sometimes. Like, well, what's the point? He ain't even going to throw to him. He ain't going to work with him. So what's the point?
I mean, don't they have to? Like, you know, Brady's going to shut these guys out, and the team has to factor that in. And I know you're not criticizing them for it, but at the end of the day, it's on Brady.
I mean, and the N'Keal Harry, like, we're all saying N'Keal Harry comes off of IR. He'll be someone that can help you. Will he? Will Tom Brady invest the time at that juncture in November when he can't even be bothered in March or April? And, you know, he's on record as saying, I'm not here to help you, and you're not here to help me? What? So, you know, I like N'Keal Harry. I like how he looked. A fine draft pick, all that. I wouldn't be overly optimistic about the quarterback working with him. Wes in the car on this topic. Yes, Wes.
Yeah, I'm gonna be quick. And Murray, get the Patriots honk button ready. I believe in the circle of trust to a degree, but you know, you guys seriously with those Patriots bash, the Brady bashing of, oh yeah, he threw that one off the back shoulder. And how about those guys aren't running the right routes? How about that? How about a little ownership on those guys? Okay, Malcolm Mitchell came through at the end of the season, like, whatever, back in the Seattle years or whatever.
No, 16, Seattle, the Atlanta year.
You guys, seriously, Madge. Oh, yeah, no, he's not trusting him. How about those guys aren't running the right routes? They see stuff in practice, too. Maybe these guys, do you guys know what they're doing? Do you know what they're supposed to be doing, Madge?
No, but
I run 15 out, Maz. Come on, give me a break.
So, Wes, I did say it. Izzo may have been looking for it in the wrong spot. I said that, quote unquote, on the ball that he reached behind him and caught it. Look at rookie receivers under Tom Brady over 20 years. Look at first year and rookie receivers and their production with Tom Brady. Now, there have been a couple great examples of guys who have worked.
Moss worked for 1 year, his first year for sure, and Welker worked the first year. So I'm not saying it's a zero, but I think the most a rookie has ever caught under Tom Brady is 40-something catches. Deion Branch in 2002 or whatever it was, or 2003, whatever year that was. He does not. So it's not just so maybe Jacoby Myers doesn't get it. Did none of them get it? None of them? Because a rookie has hardly ever come in here and had a big year under Tom Brady.
I mean, the list of guys who've come in and played well with him right out of the gate is way shorter than the other one. Way shorter. Now, when you say first year, are you talking about guys they brought in by free agent? So,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, even that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been way more failures than successes.
I mean, the list of guys who've done well is like enough to count on one hand.
Yes.
You know, it's Brandon Lloyd, Brandon LaFelt. Like, that's it. There are a few guys.
Moss.
Yeah, no, nobody, you know, when you said Welker too, right? But that, you know, there just really aren't that many. And so, I'm at a loss to explain that, too.
You know, I mean, like, does Brandon Cooks, you say he's a little soft or whatever, but is he not experienced? Does he not know what he's doing? He seems pretty good in the other offense with McVay out there. I don't know. He comes here and he's less than what he was elsewhere. So what's that on? I don't know. So I think there's a little bit of a track record here, and it gets worse for Brady as he gets older. Like all of us. You know, work with young guys, don't want to be with people who don't know what they're doing. Like, it's not, you can totally explain it. It's human, I suppose, but don't tell me it's not happening. Eddie in Wakefield. Yes, Eddie.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, do you guys think Brady or Breeze is going to beat Manning's record first this year? And do you think Brady's more focused on beating the records than his own team winning this year? And I also agree with you guys that Brady is not working with the receivers.
Okay.
Hang up and listen.
Yeah, so I don't think he works with the receivers like he could. I think the most important thing for him now is, or let me say this, I think TB12 and that company is more important to him than the Patriots. That's what I believe. I think he wants to win more than anything, but I think it's for him, his legacy, his company, then the team.
His longevity helps the brand. More winning, I mean, more winning helps him, obviously, in the team, but it does help the brand as well.
That's what I think. You know, God, family, and the New England Patriots. God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. That holy trinity. Like, those are the top most important things in your life, and they have to be, and da-da-da. I think the Patriots have been bumped off the list to fourth by TB12.
It's God, family, and TB12?
Exactly. And then the Patriots are fourth. They're off the medal stand. They're in there. They're in the top five. I just don't know if they're in the top three anymore.
But on passing Manning, he can do it Thursday night. And a caller to the postgame show with Beadle and I yesterday said, boy, he didn't really look as mopey as he had when he got pulled for Jarrett Stidham in a prior game. He looked downright giddy. And this caller surmised maybe that's because he knows he's 18 yards away from passing Manning, and he gets to do it in front of the home crowd Thursday night, while also Peyton Manning's brother is standing with a clipboard across field on the opposite sideline on Thursday night. So a little bit of needling there as well.
I just, these are, you know, the stats are just something that he never cared about or we never talked about, ever. And in fact, I always preferred his storyline, which is, I have the championships, you have the, you know, you have the numbers. You know, he's Jeter and Manning is A-Rod. And, like, you know, let everyone else win the MVPs and put up the individual stats. I have the championships. I'm Montana, everyone else is Marino, right? Like, that whole thing. Would you rather be the guy that wins or the guy that puts up all the individual numbers? And I always liked the story of Brady being that guy that won and everybody else put up the numbers. Now we care about the numbers, too? Could I get two poops? So, like, when I hear it, it doesn't even register. I so don't care. What is going on with Manning? What record is he catching him?
Passing yards.
Yeah, he's going to pass Manning. They showed
all
this
time?
Is
he number one?
Two.
No, number
Breeze
one is Breeze. One. He's not going to catch Breeze. I mean, you know, Breeze is like 3,000 yards ahead of him.
So Breeze is number one all time in yards. Correct. Manning is two, and Brady's about to pass Peyton Manning.
Correct. Yes.
Who gives a poop?
I would agree. I wouldn't even know what the hell the number was unless they flashed it.
Right, to the point of, I don't know the number. I don't know the list. I don't care. When you talk about quarterbacks, I don't look at those things.
No, and the other thing is that I think the caller was talking about touchdown passes.
And who leads that list? I don't know. I don't care.
Well, he said, the caller said, who do you think is going to pass Manning first, Brady or Breeze? And I'm like, what difference does it make? Who cares who passes him first?
How do we ever look at, Brady that way? Touchdown passes in a season. Vaguely, he set it. Brady set it in 07, and then did Manning beat him?
Yeah, he did.
The year he was all jacked up on HGH or whatever with the Broncos?
Yeah, he threw 55.
Okay, neat. Like, I don't even know the numbers.
Me either.
Do you?
No.
No.
Is that Brady's story? Why has that become his story all of a sudden?
Well, remember, the 1,000 yards rushing obviously mattered because he went forward when he took the kneel down last year.
And so I ask you, is that for the New England Patriots or is that for TB12? 1,000-yard rushing.
You're preaching to the choir here. Don't look at me.
Well, you just go like that's his ego.
It is his ego.
It's not. It's his business.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
It is.
His company is money, dollars and cents, Maz.
Here comes the Felgren Maz who's on first argument again.
Mike, it is. It's ego.
It's his business.
It's the same thing.
It's not.
It is.
It is.
His ego is free. There's no money attached to it. His business, he makes money with. Don't you get it? It's currency.
It's his ego.
We'll pick this up on the other side if you can stand it after the update. What's happening with Ben Watson, for crying out loud? They have 27 minutes to release the guy or put him on the team. What are they waiting for? The very latest here and your thoughts.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It could be a lot better. So, I think that's how we feel.
Again, that was Brady's feeling about the offense yesterday. Not exactly a ringing endorsement. And I guess we don't have the question. On the transcript, it just says, on feeling his way with the offense. And again, it's just, this is how they post on Patriots.com. Not the question, but sort of what the topic is. On feeling his way with the offense. And again, his answer is what, Jimmy? Just give it to me.
It could be a lot better. So I think that's how we feel.
Why was that so hard for him?
Was he trying to say, he doesn't want to offend anyone. He didn't want to say the wrong thing and look like an a-hole, because that's probably what he'd come off as if he said what he really said.
Because look, in his mind.
Wanted to say, rather.
So, and I'm not saying he's wrong, by the way, but in his mind, the offense has sucked. And like, you know, he looks at it and says, we're not good enough. We're not playing at the level we should be. We're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time here. He's got a high standard. So they're playing at this. He looks at that first half and goes, this is a joke. What we're doing out here is a joke, for crying out loud. But the defense is playing so well that it doesn't matter. And so, you know, but he's looking at it purely through the prism of his eyes. That's it. And he looks at it and says, we're not playing well enough. And he's right. I mean, he is right about that.
It doesn't excite him that they ran the ball down their throats in the second half and put up 33 points.
I think he's, I mean.
So, I mean, really, I mean, so, I mean, because the second half was pretty good. So, I mean, what is he, the second half was efficient and productive, and they put up a bunch of points and won the ball game going away.
That first half was pretty ugly, Mike.
Exactly. It was a passing half. The first half, they passed the crap out of the ball. It's the most they've ever thrown in the first half of any game ever under Tom Brady. 34 dropbacks, the most ever, and they did nothing. Then in the second half, they adjusted, as they're so good at doing. And they ran the ball down their throats and ended up putting 33 points on the board, 21 points in the second half, and he's all grumpy Gus still. Well, why not be excited about the running game?
Well, what's your answer to that?
Ego. It's his ego. No.
Well, because any quarterback can hand off.
Right. He's not happy with the passing game. That's why. And he's more concerned about the passing game. But we just agree to disagree. It's not ego. But it is his own personal desires. I mean, that I'll tell you. It is selfish, one way or the other. Because the team was fine. Offensively, they were fine. The points went on the board. He's asked, and I didn't ask for the sound, Jimmy. I can just read the transcript. Why the run game was more effective in the second half? I'm not sure. He says, I'd be guessing if I said something now, but it was good to see. See, when I read the transcript, I can put different
tonality.
I can put my own tonality on it.
Spin it.
Make it sound a certain way. But it was good to see, he said. I think one thing that did help was the play count got up there pretty high. We had quite a few plays by halftime. Anytime you feel like you do that, you feel like you're going to wear down the other team with those three-yard runs. They become six, and then finally you can break one, and Sony did one. Sony broke a long one going down down our sideline for a touchdown run. It was great to see he ran hard and ran his butt off, so I'm proud of him. But I read that because is he crediting the second-half running game for the fact that the passing game gassed him in the first half?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
A little bit. That's what that kind of.
Yeah, the play count was up there at halftime. We'd warm out a little bit, defense get tired, and then we could run the ball. That's what it sounds like.
So even with that suck bag passing game in the first half, he's kind of taking credit, or, you know, like that approach is what softened him up for the second half. Which, I mean, maybe he's right, but given the fact the Redskins were 29th against the run coming into the game, that maybe if you just started with that, it would have worked too.
Look, he's still butthurt maybe about Antonio Brown not being there. Whatever it is, the passing game isn't operating at a level that he wants it to operate at, and so they're having to find different ways to score, whether it's the defense running in interceptions or the running game or whatever it is, kickers missing kicks.
Here's another one that I wanted to hear in the postgame. I, as you could tell, I didn't have the heart to listen to the postgame yesterday. It's tough enough getting through some of these Patriots games, non-competitive. On being 11-0 when Michelle rushes, so they're 11-0 when Michelle rushes for a touchdown.
This is a good one.
Here are his feelings on being 11-0 when Michelle rushes for a TD.
Good. We're going to start him off and just give him the ball and put him in the end zone in the first quarter, and then everyone go home.
Tootie? Their little attitude there, a little tootie?
You know who would make a comment like that?
Good.
Bill. Bill would. That's exactly what Bill would say. Well, this is great. Yeah, let's get him in there in the first quarter, and then we can all go home. Maybe we'll throw a bake sale.
So the Sony Michelle people, 11-0 when he rushes for a touchdown. You know what? You know what the record is when he doesn't rush for a touchdown? 10-1, 11-0. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. When Michelle rushes for a touchdown, how about when anyone rushes for a touchdown? What's their record? 10-1. What's the record when Brandon Bolden catches a touchdown? Probably like 24-0. I could dink around with those kind of stats all day long.
Well, especially with them. They win 80% of the time.
Right. It's either 11-0 or 10-1 when anyone does anything. Well, so what's their record when Steven Gostkowski misses a big kick? Like 11-1. Like they still come back and win them all. Does that mean
there's definitely two because then they lost?
Okay, but you know what I mean.
No, they're 11. They're 11-0 when Michelle scores because usually scores against doorknobs.
So they're just sort of implying there the run game was effective. Why was it? Well, we softened him up in the first half by running the no huddle. How about the fact you're 11-0 when he rushes for a touchdown? Great. Yeah, we'll just give him the ball to start with the game every time, and then we all go home.
You're adding the tone there. He's joking around.
Am I adding the tone?
Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't sounding like an a-hole with that.
Yeah, but the mere fact that he said it is like...
So you know what? Ditch the sound and I'll just read it the way I want to read it. And we can accomplish what we need to accomplish, Murray. It's very simple.
Look, he's not happy with the passing game. I don't blame him from that standpoint. The passing game hasn't been what it should be. Should be better. He's part of the problem. Not the entire problem, but he's part of it. So, I get it. I get that part of it. You know, he's had a lesser role than he normally would have.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. Oh, and we do have an update on Ben Watson. We're going to find out in the next 13 minutes what his story is. And we may have got an inkling of it. We'll do it right after we come back.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You mentioned earlier this week that if you look at your offense historically, younger players just have had a hard time in terms of having a lot of production.
Yep.
How much of that can you help change maybe when you are in a situation where there are younger guys out there? Is there anything you can do to turn those numbers to make younger players more productive, or is it just one of those things that it's probably not going
to
happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's it's up to, I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least, because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job. Or, you know, the same goes on defense. You know, the free safety can't rush the passer and the pass rushers can't cover the deep part of the field. So I think what makes a good team is just people doing their job, doing it the best way they can. And, you know, that's what my responsibility is.
So there's that comment from Brady on Friday again. I think it's a borderline whopper. And then Philip Dorsett gets hurt early in that ball game, and so Jacoby Myers takes most of his snaps, 36 snaps in that game. Brady looked at him once. Got no use for Jacoby Myers, none. And he doesn't want to say the name, so he's not throwing him under the bus by name, but it's pretty obvious. I don't blame him for not, you know, like Gunnar Olszewski is a whole nother step behind. But Jacoby Myers is someone you looked at in preseason and said, okay, there's a little something there if you invested some time in him.
How old are those two tight ends?
So that's a good question. Izzo's young, first or second year, I think. Lacoste was with Denver.
Denver, right.
So I don't know what his, but they're new. But at least Brady looked in their direction yesterday, and he went back to him after Lacoste had a bad drop on the first attempt. So at least Brady did do that.
Lacoste is 27.
Oh, so he's older.
Yeah, so Brady can stomach that. But, you know, again, I'm Ben Watson. So we teased there was a little gleaning into the Ben Watson situation, Murray. What do you got?
Well, there's actually a couple of updates now. So first from Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal, who tweeted just about 10 minutes ago, Ben Watson is here in the locker room. He said he'll talk to the media tomorrow. I asked if that meant he'd be activated. He said it does not. When asked if he's been activated, he said he hasn't. Okay, Patriots obviously have 6 minutes to activate him. And now Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, just tweeted him.
Hold on.
What, you need the sounder?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yes, Murray, I love the sounder.
Mike Reese, ESPN Boston. The Patriots won't be activating tight end Benjamin Watson, per a source.
Meaning, they'll be releasing him. Right? Isn't that the next line? Wasn't that?
Or he's going to retire.
Wasn't that the reporting going into the day? Here's Reese yesterday. Said if he isn't activated, he would become a free agent. He says, with the Patriots close to the salary cap and with tight ends Matt Lacoste and Ryan Izzo showing up more in the passing game on Sunday, veteran tight end Ben Watson is not a slam dunk to be activated by Monday's 4 Eastern deadline. If he isn't activated, he would become a free agent. So they have to release him. They get a one-week exemption following the suspension wearing off before they have to activate him on the roster or release him.
I mean, can they cut some sort of deal to extend it?
So now, if Watson's saying he'll talk to you tomorrow, did he say?
He just cleaned out his locker room. Reading from Ryan Hannibal from over across the street there. And based on how Benjamin Watson just cleaned out his locker and left the locker room, it would be a surprise if he's activated today.
Okay, so if he's activated, he'd have to go get his equipment back out of the car.
He's done. He's got to retire again. He was retired. He probably came back and was like, the hell with this. I'm not going through this again.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think it's just the opposite.
Yeah, I think they told him they're not bringing him in.
I think the Patriots said, well, because Tommy made us go get Antonio Brown, and we got $5 million invested in him this year that we can't get off the books till all the grievances and everything, and then probably we're still porked on that, and we have no money, and you know Robert ain't reaching any more into his pocket, and we don't want to screw on with the cap anymore. We got to find if we want to get Tommy to smile a little bit around here, we got to find him another player. Where do we find the room? And is Ben Watson collateral damage on that? That's $2-3 million they saved.
So maybe, and maybe that's why he was a bit in a pissy mood on Friday, a little bit more than usual, because maybe he was going over the game plan with Josh McDaniels before they got on the plane to go to D.C., and he finds out, wait, Ben Watson's not traveling? Wait, what's happening here?
So I guess that, you know, he had a $3 million salary this year, $3 million. That's all guaranteed if he's on the week one roster as a vested veteran, but because he was suspended, does that then just apply to his first active week?
Maybe.
So if he was active for 1 week, the first week, all the money's guaranteed. That's the way it works with those base salaries for a vested veteran. So did Zoe say in the pregame that they didn't have the cap space to even activate him yesterday?
He alluded. Do we have the clip? I don't want to butcher this.
Here's a rejoin clip that Jim Louth put together on everything that happened pregame and in game.
Okay.
You know, the Watson thing's an enigma to me. I don't think that's trending in the right direction for him. Wouldn't be shocked Monday if they just don't activate him by 4 o'clock. And whether that's a cap space squeeze or, you know...
Wait, cap? It's a cap space issue?
No, not with him being in, but say they want to make a move here.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to free up more. You save like $2 million in cap space. Get that.
Brady... waiting in the gun. He takes the snap. He drops back. He's under pressure. He steps up. He starts to roll to his right.
Careful.
Brady looks to the end zone and again throws it away toward the grandstand.
Zero receivers open. You release five. Not a single one. Not a nilch. Frustrating. Just have nobody on the outside that can separate right now, man. Zone, you're good. They can run routes all day on zone. Right now, you got man issues. And with Dorsett down, you got a short week. You got to work the phones. You got to get on the phones, work the phones.
Okay, so saying go get somebody. But the key there, the pregame comment was about maybe even they couldn't even activate him yesterday because they didn't have the room.
Well, this is all starting to make
sense. Cap space can be maneuvered, as we all know,
or maybe
in a number of different ways. So,
sorry, I didn't mean to step on Bill there.
Go.
Well, look, I mean, this is when you weigh it all out now, isn't it all starting to come together a little bit? They go against a team that has a horrible run defense. They're throwing the ball in the first half, and they're including the tight ends in the passing game. Lacoste and Izzo, I think they got 3 targets in the first half. So, meanwhile, Watson doesn't get added. There was a salary cap crunch or a real money crunch, and so they got to make a decision on the tight ends and the rest of the roster here going forward, and they had to do it by 4 o'clock today. I mean, now Watson's gone. So they wanted to know, can we rely on these guys enough in the red zone or when we need them to catch a ball? Is it enough? Let's take a look. We'll see what we do against the Redskins. Can we do it there? Let's take one more look. Tom hears about it and says, now you're going to take away Watson too? So first you take away Brown, then you take away 84? You know, again, like there's the number Brown would have worn if Watson were never here in the first place. Like the whole, maybe that's why Brady's pissy on top of it. That Watson said, they're not trusting me. I think I'm gone by Tuesday. Brady's going, what? I mean, to me, it's all connected.
Okay. So there's the latest there. It appears Ben Watson is done, that his Patriots career is over before it got to restart. Your reaction to that, how they played yesterday, the situation on offense. All of it with your calls after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials. Again, breaking news in the last couple of minutes on Ben Watson. Here it is, and then right back to you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.